This evening, we will be having communion in a unique way today. So if you're part of the church, hopefully you received a text or an email inviting you to gather some bread or crackers for the elements and some juice. If you're new with us and just coming online and you desire to practice communion with us tonight, we will be doing that, so I invite you before that takes place to gather some elements around the house and be ready when we begin. As we prepare tonight, we come before the Lord, recognizing our need for forgiveness. And as believers, as followers of Jesus, we recognize that in forgiveness there is repentance and our invitation to confess our sin and to turn from it. So as we come to the Lord, let us take a moment to silently confess to the Lord our sin. Lord, for the things that we know we should have done and yet have failed to do, forgive us. Lord, for the things that we have done that we know are against your will, forgive us. And we know that when we confess our sins, you, Lord, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we hear these words, in the name of Jesus Christ, your sin, my sin, our sin is forgiven. Thanks be to God. We all want to know what's coming ahead. We all want to know what the outcome is. And for Jesus, 2,000 years ago, he knew what was ahead, and yet he wanted his disciples to understand, to know what was coming. He was looking ahead, and he was informing them of these difficult things that they were about to endure. He wanted them to know so that when they took place, they would be able to believe through it. It's easy to imagine Jesus as being calm and collected and always under control. It's easy to forget that he's not only the Son of God, but also fully human. In all of his humanity, he felt all the emotions that you and I feel. And I was reading this passage today, and I came across a couple places where I was surprised a little at how it described Jesus' feelings. He said, "My soul is troubled." Troubled by what he knew what was coming. The Bible describes this word as being disturbed or even terrified. Imagine Jesus being terrified about what was to come. It appears again in the next chapter. It says Jesus was troubled in spirit. You know, he faced down religious leaders in the Bible, cool and calm and collected. He was easily put him in their place, but now he was terrified. As he begins to describe what is coming, his disciples don't seem to fully understand. To them, it's still veiled. They misunderstand. But for us tonight, as we read this, it is a disturbing account of what is to come, which makes the outcome in the end actually all the more wonderful, all the more amazing as we look to the resurrection. The Bible calls it glorifying. Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." He said, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." So Jesus is describing here the way of honor and glory for the Son of God. And it's through a sacrificial dying that will produce an outcome. You know, a seed is sacrificial. It dies. It literally ceases to be a seed in order that it will become a plant and produce many seeds. Jesus says, This is his time. The time has come for this to happen to him. And though he's troubled, though his soul is disturbed, maybe even terrified with the expectation of what's to come, the death he's going to face, he knows and accepts it as his purpose, his Father's will, his finest hour. And here's the hardest part for the disciples to grasp. The Son of God, who is the light of the world, who came to shine his light into the world, who came to overcome and defeat darkness, now seems to be destroyed himself by those very powers. Jesus knows all this before it happens, and his concern is for the disciples to strengthen them through it so that they may believe when it happens. John's gospel describes what's really going on in these powerful and troubling events. Jesus said, "Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out." In other words, now Satan will be defeated. Jesus goes on saying, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. He would be crucified. But Jesus encourages belief through it, saying, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness."
This reading comes from John chapter 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him,
"Lord, are you going to wash my feet?"
"You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand."
"No, you shall never wash my feet."
"Unless I wash your feet, you'll have no part of me."
"Then not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well."
"Those who have had a bath only need to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you."
For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. He asked them,
"Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than their master, and no messenger is greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Why does Jesus take time in the middle of the Last Supper to wash his disciples' feet? No one else offered to do it. Peter didn't want Jesus to do it. He thought it was too menial for his Lord to wash his feet. And yet Jesus demonstrated one of the most powerful attributes of discipleship, humble service to one another. And I think about when Jesus did it and how he did it, what he did. Jesus knew that he was soon going to die, and yet he just demonstrated this unconditional, humble service to those he loved, knowing in that next few hours that they would all fail him, they would all leave him. You know, it's heartbreaking knowing that they will fail. Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." You know, on this side of the events, looking back at the Last Supper, we know that one was Judas, But for those sitting around the table, it was unimaginable that any of them would betray their Savior. No one could believe it. No one could understand how anyone could do such a thing because Jesus was their Messiah. Jesus said the betrayer would be the one that he would give bread to. I came across in my reading a description of this event, which added to probably the confusion that the disciples felt. You know, the bread that they used was a kind of flat bread, kind of hard and tough. And the host oftentimes would take a piece and give it to someone to be able to scoop out of the pot to get morsels of meat out of there. And it was considered a mark of courtesy and esteem to be selected to be given that bread. And the one who received it was Judas. So you can imagine the disciples had no idea why Jesus would do this. Jesus loved his betrayer. He'd already washed his feet. He already knew the outcome. And yet he gave him the honored bread. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The Last Supper passage says that as soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out and it was night. I think it's John's way of describing the evening, that darkness had come, that this is actually a very difficult message. And the joy of the resurrection only comes after Thursday's supper and betrayal, only after Friday's crucifixion and death, only after Saturday's long silence in a cold, dark tomb. The Bible says Jesus loved them to the very end. He loved them without reservation. He loved them without limit. And he expected them to do the same, to love one another. He gave them the command that was going to sustain them through what is to come. Love one another as I have loved you. The implication in this passage is that Jesus loves us like he loves his disciples, without reservation, without limit, to the very end. Through betrayal, through denial, through the trouble in our hearts, Jesus loves us. He gave them the command that will sustain the disciples. He gave the command that will sustain you and I through the troubles we face, through what is to come. Love one another as I have loved you. It's a cross-enduring, self-humbling, death-conquering love. Loved as we are, Jesus invites us to his table. The Bible says that whenever we eat the bread and drink the cup, we do so proclaiming the Lord's death until his return. You know, communion is typically done as part of our worship service in the Evangelical Covenant Church because it's a sacrament of the church. Licensed or ordained clergy typically bless the elements and then they are distributed and shared with those who are gathered in the community. And even though that's our practice, there's always been a provision to have communion brought to those who are homebound or poor in health. And tonight, out of necessity, we are celebrating communion through this virtual service and making accommodation for blessing the elements from a distance, because that's where we find ourselves tonight. What makes communion sacred is the fact that we set the elements aside for this purpose and through prayer and by remembering what Jesus did and the sacrifice that he made through his body and blood. So as we listen to the song that we will have in just a moment, I invite us to gather and prepare the elements, the bread and the juice for Holy Communion. If you're at home or at home tonight, we invite you to make sure that everyone who will be taking has their own piece of bread and their own cup. So after the song, Pastor Greg and I will walk us through what to do. And so if you're a believer tonight, this communion, a part of the service is for you. Please join us. If you're not a believer, if you don't trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then simply sit back and enjoy the service. There will be more to come after this. This is the Lord's table, and it is Jesus himself who invites us to this supper. The Apostle Paul tells us that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Paul goes on to tell us in the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me."
And at home today, I invite you to take the elements into your hands, the bread and the cup, as we prepare to bless it.
1 Corinthians 10:17 says, "Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we partake of the one bread."
Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for letting your body be broken and your blood shed on the cross for our sake. And we ask, Lord, through this blessed bread and cup, we would become partakers of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to take the bread in your hands. Take and eat the body of Christ broken for you. And go ahead and take your bread.
Now I invite you to lift up your cup and prepare to drink. This cup is the new covenant in the blood of Christ. Drink of it in remembrance of him. Join me in prayer as we give thanks to the Lord for this. Loving God, you have graciously accepted us as living members of the body of Christ and have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Give us now your peace and grant us all of your healing strength and sustaining power. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Just as we are, Jesus loves us. The night ended with Peter not fully understanding what was to come. When Jesus described that he was going to a place that his disciples could not follow, Peter was adamant that he would go too. In fact, he said he would lay down his life for Jesus. You know, I get it. He deeply loved Jesus. He was committed to him. It's almost too hard to believe what was about to happen, let alone understand. But Jesus was quick to share the truth that was in Peter's heart. He said, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." We may get the impression that there's something we can do or have already done to make us good enough to be a follower of Jesus. But all of Jesus' disciples will fail him. No way. Not me. Not I. But if we put ourselves there that night, after sharing the Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus would be arrested. He would stand alone before his accusers. Judas will betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Peter will deny him three times. Fear will overtake them, and they will all fall away. Jesus knows it. And yet he still encourages you and I today with the same words he spoke to his disciples. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. believe in God, believe in me. Jesus knew this would all happen, and knowing all of it, he washed their feet. And even then, Jesus knew that we would deny him, that we would betray him, and still he willingly went to the cross to carry our sins upon himself. We may get the impression that there's something we can do to be good enough to be a follower of Jesus. But Jesus knows the truth. There's nothing we can do. He simply says, come as you are. Bring your burdens, bring your failures, and be set free. Grace is the key. Love is the language. Come as you are and call on his name. Come as you are, burdened and broken. Come as you are, ashamed and guilt-ridden. Come as you are, hurting and lost. Come as you are, a sinner in need of forgiveness. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Come as you are. Jesus says, trust in God, trust also in me. Come as you are, come to the cross. And there find redemption and forgiveness and a new life. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Jesus didn't come to condemn, but to save. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door tonight to Jesus. Open the door to forgiveness. Open the door to new life, a new beginning, to his love, to a relationship. Come to Jesus. Tonight, you can begin a new life by turning away from doubts and unbelief and find peace in a troubled soul. Come to Jesus. Trust in him. So we're going to call on his name tonight, and all of us to come before the Lord in prayer. So I invite you on this Holy Thursday evening, before we celebrate Easter, to come to Jesus. Jesus, we celebrate communion in remembrance of what you did. And tonight we cannot forget that you sat around the table with your disciples and described to them what was to come, that you would die a terrible death on the cross, and that your body and your blood would become a sacrifice that would cover sins of everyone who believes in you, and that they need not worry because your death would destroy death forever. And you proved it by rising from the grave. And so, Jesus, tonight we ask that you strengthen and encourage our hearts, that whatever we must endure in this life, we will continue to trust you, continue to believe through it. And Lord, strengthen us in our hearts that we may love as you loved us, that we may demonstrate that love to those around us who need to know your love for them. Lord, whether for the first time or for many times, we recommit ourselves to follow you. And if this is the first time you are coming to Jesus, then simply invite him into your heart. Say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for the wrong things that I have done. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord, thank you for destroying death for all time, that I may live eternally with you. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may truly love as you have commanded, to love one another as you love us. And Lord, as I love, to know your love for me. Empower me with that death-conquering, life-giving love. And help me, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. So if you prayed that tonight, we invite you to contact us here at Bethlehem Church. We want to walk with you on that journey with Jesus. And for each one of us, as we journey to the resurrection, that we would know Christ's love as we love one another.